Imagine an industry where just one tiny oversight, a single mistake, can have absolutely monumental consequences. That's aviation maintenance. And right now, it's right at the forefront of a really significant shift in safety rules. Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're getting into safety management systems, SMS, specifically for U.S. aviation repair stations.
That's right. We're going to unpack a recent piece from Aviation Maintenance Magazine. It's titled Trust the Process. Our mission really is to cut through the complexity here for you. We want to understand this new requirement, what it means, and honestly, some of the surprising challenges popping up.
Yeah, challenges sounds about right. We're leaning heavily on this article, which seems to really map out this evolving situation.
It does. It provides a lot of good detail.
Okay, so let's dive in. This new mandate, U.S. repair stations,
Yeah.
they now have this official requirement: establish, implement, and maintain a safety management system. Now, you might hear that and just think, okay, another FAA rule, standard stuff, but it gets more interesting than that, doesn't it?
It really does. Because this requirement, it didn't just, bubble up from inside the FAA on its own. It actually became official back in February. And the reason, it's the U.S.-European Union Bilateral Aviation Safety Agreement, the BACEA.
Ah, the base A. Okay.
Yeah, specifically, there's a bilateral oversight board, and their decision, number 13, amended Annex 2 of that agreement. So the FAA had put out a warning before in an info bulletin, but this decision, it made it concrete, a regulatory reality.
So it's like an international handshake forcing a domestic change. That is interesting.
Pretty much, yeah.
But who exactly has to follow this? Is it every single repair shop in the US, or who's on the hook here?
That's a really crucial point.
Yeah.
Because, look, the Standard American Safety Rules, Part 5, they do not require an SMS for domestic repair stations.
Okay, so not everyone.
Not everyone. However, if you're a U.S. repair station and you either hold or you're applying for EASA approval, that's the European Union Aviation Safety Agency, then under this bilateral agreement, you must set up an SMS.
Got it. So if you want to work with Europe, this applies to you directly.
Exactly. It targets that international segment specifically.
And the timeline. When does this actually kick in?
Well, for anyone applying for EASA approval now, it's effective immediately, right away.
Okay, no grace period for new folks.
Nope. But if you already hold that approval, you've got a bit more breathing room. They have until January 1st, 2026 to show they're compliant.
2026. Okay. And the actual wording, what does the rule say?
It's pretty specific. It was added to Appendix 1 of Annex 2, and it says, quote, "The repair station shall establish, implement, and maintain a safety management system, SMS, acceptable to the FAA and compliant with ICAO Annex 19 as applicable to maintenance organizations." And then it adds, "The FAA SMS voluntary program outlines the process and requirements."
ICAO Annex 19, so tying it firmly to international standards.
Yes, exactly. That's the global benchmark for safety management in aviation.
Okay, sounds clear on paper, but the article suggests there's some, let's say, turbulence ahead with actually implementing this. It mentions the FAA's own voluntary SMS program having a, quote, less than stellar beginning. What does that mean in practice? What are stations facing?
It means real problems on the ground. Picture a repair station trying to figure out exactly what they need to do. The guidance might seem unclear, maybe even conflicting. And the article points out something really critical. Even the FAA inspectors, the ones supposed to oversee this, well, apparently not many really grasp these scalable requirements or how to apply the ICAO standards effectively.
That sounds messy. Scalable usually means adaptable, but if no one knows how to scale it.
Right. And remember, ICAO standards are technically aimed at countries, not directly at individual companies. So there's this layer of interpretation that caused confusion when countries adopted SMS. And now that same sort of confusion might be hitting these U.S. repair stations directly.
Okay, so uncertainty from the regulators themselves, that definitely creates a challenge.
A big one.
And adding to that bumpiness, there's this classic issue with any new regulation, the cost versus the proven value.
Absolutely. Think about it from the repair station's perspective. They have to spend the money developing, implementing, maintaining these SMS programs. It's a cost of doing business if you want to work with European clients or operate globally. It's not optional.
Right, it's market access.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But here's the kicker, the question that keeps coming up. Is there hard, objective data proving that SMS actually reduces risk in aviation maintenance? The article suggests that proof, the quantifiable link, is still kind of missing.
So a mandatory investment, potentially significant, without clear data showing it directly moves the safety needle. That's That's a tough position for a business.
It's a very tough sell, yeah.
Yeah.
It raises questions about resource allocation. You know, is this the most effective way to enhance safety given the cost?
And this is where getting perspective from people deep inside the industry is so valuable. The author of this article, Sarah McLeod, she's not just writing about it. She's a managing member at Obadahl, Filler, McLeod, and Klein, a law firm focused on this stuff.
Mm-hmm. And important.
And she's also a founder and the executive director of ARASE, the Aeronautical Repair Station Association.
Right. So she's been deep in the trenches of aviation safety law, policy, compliance, advocating for companies on these exact issues since the 1980s. Decades of experience.
So her perspective and ARASE's carries a lot of weight here. What is ARASE's stance on this whole SMS requirement?
Well, it's interesting. Despite the article mentioning that dubious value, referring to that lack of hard data we just talked about, ARASE is actually pushing hard. They're urging both the government and the industry to essentially make good on the promise of safety management.
So less focus on debating its origins or proven value, more on, okay, it's here, let's do it right.
Kind of. It's like saying, look, even if we have questions about the data, if this is the path forward, let's genuinely commit to making safety management meaningful. Don't just check boxes.
And ARASE also emphasizes something important. This isn't starting from zero, right?
Yeah.
They argue the U.S. already has standards for safety management in maintenance.
Exactly. They point to the existing foundation. It starts with Part 43.
Okay, Part 43. That covers the actual maintenance work itself.
Right, the nuts and bolts. How maintenance, preventative maintenance, alterations are done, the performance standards. Then you layer on top of that the repair station's own quality system, which is mandated in Section 145.211. That dictates their internal processes for ensuring quality and compliance.
Procedures, checks, balances.
Exactly. And then there's Subpart T, which covers personnel requirements.
Mm-hmm.
Training, qualifications, supervision, making sure the people doing the work are capable and qualified. ARASE points that these existing rules already create a strong framework for managing both technical risk and human risk. Compliance is already the core business.
So the argument is that the foundation for safety is already deeply embedded, which makes this next point even more, well, paradoxical, trust factor.
Ah, yes. This is maybe the most fascinating part of the article.
It highlights this huge dilemma. How can a regulator demand and oversee an SMS effectively, a system that absolutely relies on companies being open and honest about potential problems? If that same regulator then turns around and punishes the company for revealing those very problems.
It's the core tension, isn't it? If you're incentivized to hide issues to avoid penalties, how can you have a truly effective, proactive safety system?
It seems counterintuitive, like asking someone to point out flaws in their own system and then hitting them with a fine for doing it.
Precisely. And the article suggests the government's tendency, historically maybe, has been towards violation hunting, finding fault. But that approach actively discourages the open communication that safety management absolutely needs to function.
So if action is forced just based on, say, guidance or an inspector's preference rather than a solid rule-based safety analysis,
you just get defensiveness, mistrust. Companies clam up. They might fix the immediate issue quietly, but they won't necessarily share the learning or address the systemic root cause openly.
Okay, so from the company side, that makes sense. But what about the regulator? They do have a duty to enforce rules. How do they walk that line? It's incredibly difficult, a real tightrope. The article puts it nicely. Mistrust isn't fixed by silence. You can't just ignore the tension. It says trust can only be built through open, honest communication, maybe even communication that pushes boundaries a bit. And crucially, communication that doesn't lead to indiscriminate punishment.
A culture shift, really, where finding and reporting a problem is seen as a positive step towards improvement, not just grounds for a violation.
Exactly. Creating a space where it's safe to talk about the near misses, the potential hazards, the uncomfortable truths, because that's where the real learning happens.
Okay, so given all these challenges, the rocky rollout, the cost questions, this fundamental trust issue, and the existing safety framework, what's the solution? How do repair stations make this work?
Well, the key suggestion really is integration, not addition. Regardless of who's regulating them, FAA or EASA via the FAA, the advice is to layer SMS within their existing quality management system.
So don't just create a whole separate SMS binder to sit on a shelf. Please, no, not another binder. It needs to be woven into the fabric of what they already do. Think of it less as a new program and more like a new lens. A way to look at existing processes to enhance safety proactively.
That makes sense, especially since, as the article points out, safety management is fundamentally about human factors.
Exactly.
And training in human factors. It's already required for these U.S. facilities that hold EASA approval under the BESA.
Correct. They're already doing it. They're already integrating lessons learned from their quality system into lessons received by their people to stop problems from happening again.
So they've already taken significant steps towards SMS, maybe without even calling it that explicitly.
In many ways, yes. They're already thinking about the human element, the system interactions. And IRSA, building on that, even explored the PEER model in their newsletter last year, PEA.
PEA. What's that stand for?
People, Environment, Actions, and Resources. It's a human factors model. Each element helps focus the organization on ensuring airworthiness when managing safety risks. People looks at capabilities, limitations, training. Environment is the workplace conditions.
Yeah.
Actions are the procedures, the tasks themselves. And resources covers tools, equipment, documentation. Thinking through PEER helps ensure they can meet the performance standard in Section 43.13B.
Section 43.13B, remind me.
That's the part that basically sets the performance rules for doing maintenance. It establishes that baseline for human factors considerations within SMS for maintenance, how the work must be performed to ensure safety.
Got it. So the tools and concepts are there, which brings us back full circle to integration being the absolute key.
Absolutely critical. A real SMS, a functional SMS, has to be integrated into everything else.
Yeah.
Not just piled on top of other programs.
Things like ASAP programs, aviation safety action programs, or whistleblower hotlines.
Exactly. Those programs are also designed to get people to self-disclose issues and encourage corrective action. They're valuable. But if SMS is just another separate silo alongside those, you risk more confusion, more miscommunication, maybe even more mistrust. Which program do I use? Does reporting here conflict with reporting there?
Yeah, I can see how that would happen. More complexity, not less.
Right. Companies have to meet the regulations, but they also need to protect their legitimate business interests. And they need to get crucial safety information flowing without people fearing automatic penalties. It's a balancing act. So SMS can't just be bolted on. It has to be woven in, truly integrated.
So quite a journey we've taken there. We've navigated this new world of safety management systems for aviation repair stations. We saw how an international agreement, the BASE, is really driving this change domestically for certain stations.
Mm. And we touched on those real-world implementation challenges, the questions around cost versus proven value.
And we heard the valuable insights from industry voices like Sarah McLeod and RSA emphasizing that existing foundation.
And really underscoring that critical need for integration. And perhaps most importantly, for trust between the industry and the regulators.
Absolutely. And, you know, this deep dive into aviation safety, it really sparks a broader thought, I think. For you listening, think about your own field, your own work. When new requirements, new systems, new ways of doing things are introduced, how do you make sure they're truly integrated? How do you prevent them from just becoming another layer of bureaucracy, another box to check?
And maybe even more fundamentally, how can organizations, your organization perhaps, foster that kind of open communication and genuine trust, the kind that's absolutely essential when the stakes are high, whether it's aviation safety or any other critical outcome?
Something to definitely think about.